Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. According to the UN, as of last year, there were more than 45 million refugees worldwide. Now, people leave their home for many reasons, war, but also environmental disaster, persecution. Where are they coming from? Where are they going? Let's get a snapshot. Sasha Shanoff is the executive director of Refuge Point. That's a refugee organization working for long-term solutions worldwide. Sasha, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks, Robin.
And put that 45 million in some context for me.
Well, approximately 23,000 people per day last year were displaced because of conflict and violence. These are levels of displacement unseen for two decades now. So this is a global emergency.
Yeah, well, it's quite something to think of it that way. 23,000 people a day moving. The UN report says the countries producing the most refugees are Afghanistan, Somalia, Iraq, Sudan, and Syria. Let's start with Afghanistan. Over 1.6 million Afghan refugees fled to Pakistan, beginning when the Taliban was in control right before the U.S. invasion in 2001. We knew that. But is it still happening now as the U.S. looks at a drawdown and the Taliban is ramping up attacks?
Yeah, there's generalized violence in Afghanistan. People are still fleeing. Afghanistan has been one of the biggest refugee-producing countries for the past 32 years. So this is an ongoing chronic crisis. And I think Afghans make up one out of every four refugees in the world right now.
Oh, and in Pakistan, where they are these places where they've fled, have they become like, you know, brick and mortar and not the tents that we're used to seeing?
Well, this is one of the great problems we face as a global society. The average amount of time someone lives as a refugee today is 17 years. And people are stuck in camps. More and more, they're migrating to cities to try to survive or eke out an existence there because they feel that there is no life in camps. So yes, some camps do become brick and mortar cities to some degree.
Right. What about Iraq? The UN Refugee Agency says people fled Iraq for Syria in 2003. Obviously, these poor people are now in the middle of Syria's civil war.
You know, this happens in many different places. People flee war in their own country. They go to a neighboring country and then often they are in danger there. Some Iraqis have returned to Iraq from Syria. Others are across the region. The U.S. has mounted a huge response to assist Iraqi refugees, and many have actually come to the U.S. through our government's refugee resettlement program as well.
So I was going to ask, there's a refugee camp in Kenya, home to almost a half million Somalis. That's a mini city. 2.2 million Congolese are on the move, going to nearby Uganda, Rwanda. Do those countries have the same system we have where you're a refugee if you're welcomed in and given that status? Otherwise, you're an undocumented immigrant.
They don't. Those countries receive refugees. They often establish camps where refugees have to stay. That camp that you mentioned in Kenya, Dadaab Refugee Camp, is the largest in the world right now with over 500,000 people in it. And I've spent a lot of time there. It's a violent, dangerous place. There's inadequate shelter, inadequate food or health care. It's a disaster there. But people have been stuck there for over 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Tell us, before we look at some of the other areas, what are some of the stories that we hear that underscore what we're talking about?
Well, more and more people are leaving camps and trying to survive in urban areas and slum areas. Refuge Point, the organization that I lead, works in Nairobi and across Africa. We've been working with many refugee children who have been orphaned and displaced. There was one family of six Somali orphans who have been refugees for 9 years. They lost their mother and their father. The 18-year-old young man was caring for his younger siblings. We found that they had relatives in the U.S. and help to reunite them with family in the U.S. So they have come here now through the United States Refugee Resettlement Program.
Well, and what would have been available for them? What kind of status do they have? Can they work?
There are very few options for refugees in most places. They often do not have the legal right to work. In Nairobi, about 50% of refugee children are not in school because they don't have access to education. These are massive human rights issues as well.
Yeah, and political implications, it can destabilize the region when suddenly one country is flooded with another country's refugees. That's around the world, but I'm just wondering, who's coming to the U.S. and where are they going?
The U.S. government is a world leader in refugee resettlement. Resettlement is the process whereby a refugee can permanently relocate to the U.S. and they have pathways to citizenship. We established the United States Refugee Resettlement Program through the Refugee Act over 30 years ago now. The people who are coming here are from Iraq. They're Bhutanese, they're Burmese, they're Somalis, they're Congolese. They are going to cities across our country. They are revitalizing depressed communities. They are contributing members of society. They have a pathway to citizenship. And they contribute not only to our society by paying taxes and becoming active members, but they bring peace and security back home. They draw on the resources here, education and other resources, to try to rebuild their own homes. You know, about $1.6 billion a year in remittances flows from Somali refugees in the U.S. and countries around the world back to Somalia.
But as you know, there are some people in the United States who have some questions about large communities of refugees that come to their town. We know that. But setting that aside for a second, it's very different here. These are not camps. It feels as if around the world we're talking more about people being shuttled into an area and almost imprisoned there.
Around the world, many people are going to refugee camps. In the Middle East, with the Syrian crisis, a lot of people are ending up in urban areas in Turkey, in Jordan, and in other countries as well. And this does certainly create a huge burden in terms of the refugee presence, but the international community does a great job in terms of working with some of those countries to not only help the refugees, but to help the local populations who are receiving them as well.
Yeah. Just one last story you'd like to leave us with of a success that you've had with a refugee.
A 14-year-old Darfuri girl was separated from her family for 9 years. She did not know they were alive. They did not know she was alive. Refuge Point helped the family come to the U.S. We reunited that Darfuri girl with her family.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, in the few seconds we have, being in the age of the internet, is this going to help at all with this huge refugee population in finding
families? Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are many ways that the internet is helping refugees to reunite with their families through Facebook and other means.
Sasha Chanoff, Executive Director of Refuge Point, talking about the increase in the world's refugee population. According to the UN, 45 million people around the world. Sasha, thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin.
And for a deeper look at the global refugee diaspora, go to hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.